Amen, amen, amen. Good morning. Can y'all hear me? Woo! Good morning, good morning. How are you? Awesome. What an amazing worship team we have. This is awesome. I just have some announcements for you quick, and then I'll get out of your way. We'll worship some more. So we have Brother Ted Shuttlesworth in here. Joel Sr. Well, Tiff Shuttlesworth, sorry. He's with us from next Sunday, the 21st, to preach at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Amen, amen. It's a great opportunity to invite people that you want to see saved, okay? Pray for them. Get them in church. It's going to be great. You guys are cute. Cool. So we also changed. We have Thursdays, our family nights now. We have Uproar. We also have our Rock Solid Faith. We have His Kids. Bring the whole family. It's great. We also have a women's group, book club, Chris with Sherry, and Rock Solid Faith. It's great. It's fun. Then we also have a new podcast as well. So download the app. If you have an iPhone, download the app. You get to listen to it. They also do it live, right? They do it live. So get on Facebook. Look that up. And then we also have Turkey Bowl next Sunday. Two Sundays from now, Turkey Bowl. Not food. Okay, this is football. Bring your people. We'll have food. There's flag football. It's going to be awesome. Awesome? Amen? Let's get it.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Are you ready for a great day? We're excited. God is alive. God's got great things for you. We're unwilling to settle for anything less than God's best this morning. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. God, we release your anointing in the house. God, we release the power of heaven in this place. God, we know that you have a plan today. You're going to touch people's lives. You're going to change us from the inside out. Save the lost, oh God. Heal the sick, oh God. Deliver the oppressed, oh God. Set the captives free in Jesus' name. So God, we thank you for Brother Chris. Use him in a mighty, marvelous way for the glory of God. And everybody said,
amen.
I said, everybody said, let's worship God with all we got.
Highest praises. your soul cries hallelujah, let out a shout of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love, destined to die, poured out for all mankind, and God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. Sinned, but suffered as if he did. All authority, every victory is yours. All authority, every
come.
sing that? All authority, every victory is yours. All authority, every victory is yours. All authority, all authority, every victory is yours. Sing, Savior, Savior, worthy of honor and all, and all the glory, Lord. And you all came, and your name is Jesus, Jesus.
Take joy, my King.
all about you. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, God, for what you're going to do in our lives this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. 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 Just the mention of your name, Jesus. Our Lord, we love you, we love you, we love you. We love you, we love you, we love you, Lord. In your presence, Jesus. In your presence, Jesus. There is the power to save. There is the power to heal. There is the power to deliver. Everything you need right now is in this room because the Master is here. Jesus is here. We love you, Lord. Jesus, we look to you. There's some, God, on the brink, Father, of just giving up their walk with you. Embrace them, Jesus, right now. Embrace them, Jesus, right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Some, God, in this room need a physical healing. The presence of the Lord is there to heal. I release right now healing in the room in the name of Jesus. God, I declare in Jesus' name the gifts of healing and the working of miracles be released in this room right now in Jesus' name. God, we thank you that today is a shift day in our lives. Father, there are those that are in bondage. God, I want the devil to know today he can't have them. You've got to let them go in Jesus' name. We address you and adjure you in Christ's name. Loose the children of God in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that you are there to meet every single need. You are a good God and greatly to be praised. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits, who heals every sickness, every disease, and forgives every single sin. We bless you, Jesus. Thank you for paying a price we could not pay. Thank you for the supernatural. Thank you for the kingdom of God. Thank you for your laws and your principles. We honor you this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Don't you love the Lord today? Amen. You know, I know we usually do meet and greet again, but I want to give Brother Chris all the time that he's going to need. So if we could make our way back to our chairs this morning, I want to be able to give Brother Chris enough time. Yeah, why? Do you want to do offer? Praise the Lord. How many of you have heard about family night? Well, that doesn't sound like many of you. I said, how many of you have heard about family night? Family night is every Thursday night now. We've changed Rock Solid Faith over from Tuesday to Thursday. We've done that for a reason because we want to make sure that we can get all the families in the house. Moms, you have a women's group. Dads, you have Rock Solid Faith and also a Bible study. My sister teaches a Bible study. What are you teaching right now? We're teaching Bondage Breakers by Neil Anderson, a phenomenal book. So if you've not joined on Thursday night, we had a good-sized crew in Rock Solid Faith. We want to triple it, amen? Turn to someone and say, have you gone to Rock Solid Faith? Ask somebody, have you gone to Rock Solid Faith before? And then if they don't say yes, say, why? Now, somebody in the room, I'm sure you've gone to Rock Solid. How many of you have gone to Rock Solid Faith at least twice? No, I'm not talking like you've gone to the room twice. You finished it twice. How many of you have finished Rock Solid Faith three times? How many of you have finished Rock Solid Faith four different times? How many of you have finished Rock Solid Faith five times? Chris is doing really good. Here we go. How many of you have finished Rock Solid Faith six times? Whoa, we have folks in the back. Come on now. That's right. How about seven times? So listen now, if you've not even started, you've got a long way to go. Somebody said to me, well, I've already taken it. I want you to know something. Taking it the first time is just cutting your teeth. You need to get in Rock Solid Faith and know what you believe. Amen. So this last week, we actually did, we were doing it on tithes and offerings. The Bible says that tithes and offerings, and we talk about tithe, is very important. Turn to somebody and say, tithe is important. And I'll tell you why. I want to talk about tithe real quickly. It's going to take me just a few moments. Tithing, it impacts three areas of your life. Everybody say three. First area of life is relationship. The Bible says in the Word of God in Malachi, if you're Italian, it says, God said to them, return to me and I'll return to you. And they said, in which way shall we return to you? And God says, with your tithe and your offering. You see, it impacted the relationship of Israel with their God because they stopped tithing. Now, some of you are angry every time we talk about tithing. I just want to help you. The issue is your heart. If you get angry when we talk about tithing, yet you believe in salvation, you have a serious issue. Because if you believe in salvation, you have to believe in tithing. I got real quiet in the room. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I said, if you believe in salvation, you have to believe in tithing. Amen. So if you want salvation, you want all that God has for you, this is part of it. Not that it gets you saved, but it literally, there are folks in the room this morning that your relationship with God has abruptly come to a wall. And you've wondered why. And it's because you've yet to step into the next level of tithing. Remember, the first is relationship. The second is obedience. We tithe because God told us to. Boy, it really gets quiet in the room when you start talking about finances. Whether you like it or not, God simply said it. All the tithes, Leviticus chapter 27, all the tithe belongs to the Lord. And that we're to bring the whole tithe. So I want to challenge you this morning, whether it's relationship, whether it's obedience, or whether it is stewardship. That means, remember, if you own it, you've got a problem. I don't know if you, how many were here when I preached on kingdom ownership? You remember that one? I preached a message on this, and what it was this. Who's wealthier? If I came down the front and I gave Emily $300,000... Here, Emily, here's $300,000. You can spend it any way that you desire. You can take it. That's free money. But I walk over to Buddy and I say, Buddy, I own Walmart. You can go in anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can have whatever you want. Just walk out the door. I'm giving it to you. Who's wealthier, the one with access or the one with $300,000? You see, when you understand kingdom finances, you understand you're stepping into access. You see, if you own the money, if it's your money, then when it runs out, you got a problem. But if you obey God, can I hear an amen? And you are good stewards of God's money, can I hear an amen? Shout, I'm a tither. As a tither, then you have access. And if you have access, then there's nothing that you don't need. Amen. God's got it all just for you. Amen. I said, amen. Shout it out loud. I'm a tither. Some of you are prophesying for the first time. I've heard people say to me, they said, Pastor, I don't have enough money to tithe. My grandmother made $350 a month on Social Security. That's all she had. She tithed $35. Anybody get that now? $350, $35. And this church was actually established on my grandmother's offering. My grandmother gave us $5 a month to help launch this church. An old lady, $350 is all she had, Brother Chris. Tithe $35, and she gave this church $5 a month to make sure we could launch it. Man, I tell you something. You should all be thanking God for Grandma. Amen. Her name wasn't great. Her name was Dorcas. Dear God, why would anybody name their mother Dorcas? Horrible name. It is in the Bible, but it's just a horrible name. So let's stand to our feet if you're ready to give. If you're a guest in the house, we usually bring our offerings to the Lord. We don't want you to feel shaken down in your seats. So you bring your offerings to the Lord. I have three. Are you ready? Let me explain my offerings to you. My tithe, my seed that's going to go to Brother Chris later, and, oh, that's right, you can do that text stuff. And then I do daily seed. I seed daily because I want a daily return. If you want a daily harvest, you got to seed daily. So I seed daily. So those are my offerings that I'm giving today. So I want you to know your pastor gives pretty good, because it's not words to me. This is truth. Amen. Shout it out loud. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. If I obey, I'm blessed going in. And I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. Come on now, get your baskets. I'm blessed in my basket. Some of you just asked for a very small return. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not into prophesying. I'm into prophesying. I'm blessed in my basket. You always see me go big. You know, the world said, well, you know, you're kind of rich. You know, you're one of those rich pastors. Yeah, I had a guy come at me this week. It was so funny. I'm chuckling as I'm thinking about my basket. Come on now. I'm prophesying it in. Amen? I'm blessed in my basket, and I'm blessed in my... Shout, I'm blessed! I'm blessed! Bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering this morning. HisTabernacle.com, as well as if you want to give by a text, we love you.
For who you are.
I always forget that part.
And all you've done. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, my soul cries hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, my soul cries hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Hallelujah. I was just starting to drool. I put a lifesaver in my mouth. I want to welcome all of our guests this morning. Thank you so much for being here. We know that it's unique when you go to a different location, especially if it's a different type of church. Maybe you came from a more liturgical style, and right now you're saying, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. We want you to know you're going to be all right. Turn to someone and say, you're going to be all right. Tell somebody else you're going to be all right. We encourage you to come three times. First time is, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Second time is, that's not bad. Third time is, I can never go back to the quiet church. Amen. We're just trying to get you ready for heaven. I don't think heaven's going to be hushed. I think heaven's going to get loud. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are so honored today, and I want to give Brother Chris all the time that he needs. We are so honored today to have Brother Chris Estrada with us. A lot of you don't know, and this, you know, that's the interesting part is, I do know. I do know who he is in the Spirit. I do know what he's accomplished in the Spirit. And I am genuinely honored, and we are here as his tabernacle, to have a young man, but yet a giant in the faith, stand behind this pulpit. He has literally led Bible colleges, traveled the world. I can't even tell you how many times he's traversed the planet. Last week, he was in a church of 5,000. This week, he's in this church. He has sat with Kenneth Copeland. He has sat with some of the largest names that we have in Christendom, the giants of the kingdom. And they've poured into his life. And we today have a phenomenal honor because he doesn't come with pride. He doesn't come with, really, I think this is what I love so much about him. He genuinely loves people. And he genuinely loves us. And he loves his God. And today, we get the privilege of hearing what God is saying to him, to us. I want to remind you of that. It's not just somebody getting up here with a canned sermon. This is a message that God has put in his heart for our church, for his Tabernacle Family Church. Don't let a morsel drop to the ground. You know, a lot of times if you go to supper, and you get somebody who just takes it and starts chucking it under the table, what do you say to them? Excuse me, spend some time cooking that. Come on now, let's be honorable. You ever sit in front of some? I remember one time, almost done, ready? I remember this guy, he was an evangelist, right? So we're at this church, and the pastor's wife, they had him over to their house to eat. And she made macaroni and cheese with hot dogs in it. No, I was excited. You gotta know, I was excited. But the evangelist looked at her and said, I wouldn't feed my dog this food. I gasped like you gasped. And I got to eat his portion. Amen. And he never came back. Because he wasn't wise enough to at least honor and enjoy the meal that was set before him. Get ready now. The table is set before you. Get whether your fork, your knife, you might need a little napkin. Get a pen, write in your Bible. Let's receive from the Lord. Are you ready? Say it with me, in Jesus' name, I receive the word that you have sent for us, Jesus, in my spirit. I will enjoy it. I will eat every morsel of it. And I'll glorify you and change my life with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's welcome Brother Chris Estrada.
There is no one like Pastor Spencer. Come on, can you give it up? I don't think I've ever been introduced using hot dogs. That's a new one for me. You may be seated. Absolutely. Oh, man, it's so good to be back in his tabernacle. Come on, I love Horseheads, Elmira, Ithaca, all the way up into Syracuse. I feel like this is a home church for me. And I love coming because of the family feel and seeing a lot of familiar faces and people that we've interacted perhaps maybe on social media, but definitely face-to-face. And it's true, I actually do like people. I do. You can't go into ministry and not. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know why some people are. they like the mic more than they like people. But not so, not for my wife and I and our team. We just absolutely love what this house carries. And I think it's a great reflection of quality leadership like your lead pastors. Come on, do you love Pastor Michael and Pastor Rhonda? I love you guys. Come on, give it up. Who else can you thank besides God and Him using these two vessels for your marriage, for your spiritual formation, for your babies loving God? Come on, you got a church to go to because of their yes. Your children have a youth ministry because of their yes. Your kids are getting blessed in the other room because of their yes. Their team, their staff, their everything. Come on, one more time. Let them know you are standing with them and you're grateful for them. We honor and love you, the gift that you guys are. So appreciate you. And man, it's so humbling to be up here knowing the absolute well that I'm standing on. I know that this is sacred ground. I know that it is an honor to be able to move forward. And because this is not my first time here, the last time I was here, we had to make some last minute shifts and I ended up in Ithaca. But I know that I'm seeing a lot of familiar faces, perhaps those who are at Uproar. Come on, how many were at Uproar this week? Yeah, there you go. And then, of course, you know, just with all the great things that this church is carrying, all the movements that it's stewarding, it's pretty special and sacred. So, but let me just give you my story in a nutshell so you know where this crazy Mexican is coming from. Come on, any brown people in the room? Any caramel people in the room? All three of you? Yeah, uh-huh. And we got some chocolate in the room. Where you at, chocolate? Yeah, and of course, we got a lot of whipped cream up in this room right here. Let me just give you my story so you understand where this caramel brother is coming from, all right? I grew up on the border in the absolute chaos of cartels, drug trafficking, broken home, perversion, everything. But all on the same night, I got saved. I got filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and called into ministry. Come on, all in one night. It was a game-changing night for me. From that point forward, knowing that God had His hand on my life and asked me to leverage the rest of my days in faith to see cities and nations transformed, I have been able to steward that as being a missionary, being a youth pastor that led a youth movement that started really transforming our city, where we weren't just seeing moments of revival or having revival, we were sustaining revival. When you got young people who walk into malls and they're casting out demons, and then you drive to the grocery store and they're praying for someone to get healed, and then you end up at a restaurant and they're across the room prophesying to those that are serving them, friend, that is called a lifestyle of revival. And that was every day. There was a movement happening. And then that led us to step into the last 15 years of our life at a Bible college level. We've been really believing God to raise and release this next wave of influencers that's not just going to storm the church with fresh strategy and revelation, but it's going to storm politicians. It's going to storm, political offices. It's going to storm education, economic models. I believe that this generation is built to be a disruption. Anybody else? We're not just going to have a pandemic that disrupts everything. And if you think about it, every model has been disrupted. Your economic models have been disrupted. Your political models, your education, every model in sphere society has been disrupted. And I believe that God has leveraged His greatest people to be released in this hour to respond to the needs of this culture and this part of the world. Come on, how many of you believe God is raising you and your family up? And so really, we have been able to steward this with one vision, really, to unite the global church for the salvation and transformation of nations. And I wish I had time to tell you about all that God's done, but I remember we were standing in the office of the president of Honduras, and we said, "Mr. President, the country's in pain." We said, "Your homicide rate is here. Your suicide rate is here. Your poverty lines are extending, not decreasing." We said, "Mr. President, we've come to petition you for five things. Number one, would you stand with us 2 years from now in the largest stadium in the largest city of your nation, declaring that Honduras is a new nation? Number two, would you open up all the borders so we can ship in millions of dollars of humanitarian aid? Number three, would you open up, give us access to every high school so we could bring an army of 2,000 missionaries to storm every high school with a gospel presentation, an altar call, the laying on hands, and a follow-up campaign for anyone that makes an eternal decision? Number four, Would you give us the largest stadiums in the 18 largest cities of your nation? And number five, would you underwrite all the audio, visual, and lighting for those stadiums? You know, just some small asks to journey our world leader with. President Lobo Sosa was moved with compassion. I believe, like the word says, the Lord stirred up the spirit of the king. And sure enough, he signed a resolution, and 30 days later, it passed the Honduran government, birthing what we call the One Nation, One Day model that assembles the global church to literally descend and begin to watch God transform. It was insane to watch all the miracles. I mean, the miracle of building Honduras a bigger airport, the miracle of building infrastructure. If you've never heard that story, maybe I'll share it later. But just watching what God could do with the United Church. Friends, I'm telling you right now, unity is not an option. We have treated unity like it's negotiable, and it is not. We must be one now. I don't care what we differ on. I know that there is common ground, like the cross and the blood and the resurrection and the power of Jesus. And I believe that it's time that we started coming into Jesus's prayers. We said we should be one. Are you following me? Man, it stormed over in the Dominican Republic and watched God do the same thing there. We went to Nicaragua after that. And in Nicaragua, we watched one in every seven people in the entire nation get reached by the gospel face to face. That's a move of God. Then we went into Peru. And I wish I had more time to tell you about the 14 medical clinics in 12 different cities that we watched God host. I wish I had time to tell you about the three logging boats that we remodeled into medical triage centers that went down the fingers of the Amazon River. And while we were still giving medical care and aid, we were seeing legs grow out, blind eyes open up, people raised from the dead, all documented by global doctors. It was incredible. I wish I had time to tell you about the women's conferences, the political forums, the education forums, the spiritual leaders in Vance. I'm telling you, 21,000 pastors in an arena declaring that their nation is going to be stewarding a revival and a transformation like never before. I watched 10,000 students come into arena and preaching to them and hear them say, I'm going to take spiritual responsibility of my nation. I wish I had more time to tell you, but I can tell you, I can share this. In 7 days, we saw 1.1 million people give their lives to Jesus with a team of 10,000 missionaries from 43 nations, 150 organizations represented, pounding ground in the nation of Peru. I'm telling you, we're living in the days where whole cities and nations can be absolutely turned. And I believe that God is now marching on America. Come on, how many of you believe that? I believe God is making aggressive moves on America as we have just stepped out of a great strategy and watched what God did in Los Angeles. I'll share more about that later. But it is my absolute honor to do this with my best friend on the planet, my wife, Erica. We are now going to be celebrating 18 years of being married. Come on, that's a miracle. In my family, we have four beautiful kids, and I can't think of a better place to be than right here at His Tabernacle. Come on, how are you excited about being at church this morning? Now I don't do no quiet church. I'm too Hispanic for that. I'm telling you that right now. We're the type of people you hear before you see. All right, so I need you to talk back to me. Can you do that? Come on, I feel it on this side. I hear you on this side. I wonder if the middle's ready. Come on, middle. Hello. The middle is the best part. Everything's best in Oreo, right? What about this side? I need you to talk back. Listen, the Word of God deserves a response. I like playing. I like having home field advantage because it meant that I had the most crowd support. Well, I believe the Word should get. We should give the Word the most crowd support at church. Can we do that? Come on. You didn't come to give your pain and your frustrations and your problems home field advantage. You came to give your faith and your peace and your joy and His strength home field advantage. Can I get a better amen? So I need you to talk back to me. Can you do that? Somebody say yes. Come on, say yes. All right. I believe you. Hey, turn on your Bible. Turn on your Bible. Yes, I know what generation we're in, for crying out loud. Turn it on. Mark chapter 14. We're going to begin eating. We'll have an appetizer and the main course in Mark 14. And we might have some dessert later on. Let's see where the Holy Spirit journeys us this morning's service. Mark 14 is an incredible moment. And let me give you some background here so that we can kind of find ourselves correctly. Let's go around the room. In this setting, in Mark chapter 14, you'll find that Jesus is sitting at a table. And as He's around this table, there are key people that are mentioned in this table. The first one I want to point your attention to is Lazarus. This is the Lazarus that was raised from the dead. This is the Lazarus who was dead several days and whom his sister sent, Mary, who sent word, Jesus, the one whom you love is sick. And then the next, Jesus, the one whom you love is dead. How many of you know that's not the final word? That wasn't the end of the story. And God spoke to Lazarus, come out of that grave. And a stone was removed and Lazarus walked out in his grave clothes. Are you following me? So he probably to Jesus' left. To his right is the home of the person that is this meal is taking place. And this is Simon the leper. Now this is the reason why he's called a leper is because he used to have leprosy until Jesus walked up on his life, prayed for him, and the leprosy left him. If you understand what leprosy is, it is a very eating, it's a flesh-eating bacteria, if you will. You are constantly reminded that you are dying, and eventually that leprosy will get into some vital organs and lead to your death. And so Jesus prays for Simon. He gets totally healed, and they're having dinner in his house. The rest of the room is filled with his disciples. They have been walking with him. They have been watching him do the unthinkable, the impossible, the most unexplained moments, teachings, and miracles that anyone has ever seen. And then all of a sudden, there is an uninvited guest. There is someone who was not on the invitation list. There was someone who did not make the guest list. There was someone who did not belong, yet absolutely was anointed to be in the room. And her name was Mary. And I love Mary's. I love Mary's for a lot of reasons. I love Mary's because Mary's break all the rules. I love Mary's because they don't link in boxes. They don't live with limits. They forget about restrictions. And what Mary's do is they will live under a leading of the Holy Spirit and walk into a key moment. I love Mary's. Watch this here as we unpack this. Mark chapter 14, verse 3. It says, now Jesus was in Bethany in the home of Simon, a man Jesus had healed of leprosy. And as he was reclining at the table, a woman, this is Mary, the sister of Lazarus, came into the house and with an alabaster flask filled with the highest quality of fragrant and expensive oil. She came to Jesus and with a gesture of extreme devotion, she broke the flask and poured out the precious oil all over his head. But some were highly indignant when they saw this and they complained to one another, what? A total waste. It could have been sold to the poor and the money could have benefited them. So they scolded her, criticized her harshly. I like what happens next. Jesus then, in verse 6, Jesus said to them, leave her alone. Come on, I think God is speaking to some of your pain right now. Leave them alone. I don't know who's sick and needs a miracle, but I truly believe God's words are echoing in this room. Leave them alone. I don't know what you're frustrated about, but God is declaring, leave her alone. Leave him alone. How many know when God tells something to leave you alone, it doesn't get a chance to rebuttal. It doesn't get a chance to offer an opposition view. It doesn't get a chance to distance and negotiate with your healing or with your breakthrough. He's saying, leave New York alone. Leave America alone. Leave your marriage alone. Leave my babies alone. Come on, how many of you know God is still thundering these words over your life? Leave them alone. I love this. Leave her alone. Why are you so critical of this woman? She has honored me with this beautiful act of kindness. You will always have the poor whom you can help whenever you want, but you will not always have me. Let me put this in our world. What he's really saying is you will never have another moment like this. You only get one of these. Watch this. When she poured the oil over me, she was preparing my body in advance of my burial. She has done all that she could to honor me. I promise you that as this wonderful gospel spreads all over the world, the story of her lavish devotion to me will be mentioned in memory of her. My goodness. Let's pray for a moment. Let's pray for a moment. Holy Spirit, I ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ to consume this room right now. Both those in person and watching online, I declare that you are full of faith. You are full of hope. You are full of peace. And you are full of joy. And I come against every limit, every restriction, every barrier, every lie, every demonic harassment, I say is broken right now in Jesus' name. And I call you in to your season. I call you in to your rhythm. I call you to the front lines of your destiny and your identity. And I sabotage what's been bothering you. And I cancel what's been opposing you. And I call you into strength. I call you into peace. I call you into great holy purpose, that you would be dripping with the anointing of God in every moment of your life. I break negativity. I break poverty mindsets. I break cycles that are lifeless, that are fruitless, that are broken from a broken system, from a broken past, from a broken family. And I call you whole. I call you set free. I call you set apart. And I call you dangerous for good. I thank you for every one of these men and women in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. I tell you what, I feel like praying this morning. I was doing that this whole morning in my hotel room. I have a title for this message. I want to speak to you on the subject of being built. I feel like it's time that we showed up as built people. And I'm not just talking about the church. I'm not just talking about being a citizen of the world. I'm talking about you being formed correctly, that you're not living a double life, that you're not living with double-mindedness, that you're not half-hearted in certain areas, but that you are fully built. You are marinated. You are seasoned correctly. You are not something that is half-baked. You are not something that is hot on the outside and cold in the middle. No, let it be said that the people at his tabernacle weren't just formed, weren't just chiseled. They were built. Come on, we need some built people again. We don't need people who are missing some parts. God's not IKEA. He doesn't leave some things out. What he is very good about is he is very intentional, because he wants to build you correctly. How many know God is a wise master builder? He is looking for a city and a maker, right? Whose builder is God. There is something about being built by the hands of eternal purpose. There is something about being built by the words of ancient truth. You will last a lot longer in culture. You will last a lot longer in panic and fear. You will outlast all of your insecurities, all of your weaknesses, all of your problems. I'm telling you, all because you were built correctly. How many know God's intentional? And when he does something, he does it on purpose. Which also tells me, if he's intentional, he doesn't need, let me put it to you like this. If God is doing something, he is doing something on purpose. And if God is doing nothing, he is doing nothing on purpose. So whether he's doing something or he's doing nothing, how many know he's building it with purpose? Come on, where are the built people at, who's seen God answer when nobody else would? Who can do what nobody else can do? Where are my built people at this morning? We need built people. We need built people. You know, there are moments in your life that will tell you what you're built for. And then there are moments in your life that will tell you what you are not built for. I remember one time I was going into this park, and I was coming out this parking lot, and there was a huge hill to come down. And sure enough, I'm watching this guy sit on the top of his truck, and I said, "Hey, what's up, man?" I said, "Hey, what's going on, man? Just saying hi, being nice." "Hey, what's going on, man?" He said, "Nothing, getting ready to watch my friend die." I was like, "Okay." I'm like, "I'm jetting. I ain't catching a case. So I'm leaving." And so I remember, all of a sudden, after he's like, "Ha!" I remember I hear the roar of skateboard wheels coming down this hill. This guy on the skateboard decided that he was going to jump a 6-foot fence from the parking lot with all the momentum. Well, of course, halfway down, he started getting the wobbly knees. How many know the wobbly knees? You know, I'm not twerking. This is really the wobbly knees, okay? And so he starts getting the wobbly knees. And how many know when you get wobbly knees, you're done. You're cooked. You know what I'm saying? Like, good luck. You know what I'm saying? So sure enough, he loses all control of the momentum. He comes down, and he lets out the biggest cuss word I've ever heard in my life. Aw, beep, all the way in. And he slams ribs first into the tailgate of a truck. Bends the tailgate out like this. I mean, boom, and hits it hard enough to where he spins in the air and lands on the other side of his ribs. I remember sitting there looking at this. I'm like, "God, I wanted to come to the park, not do a funeral today." Like, this is, I walk over, and of course I ask the dumbest question everybody asks when they see an intense situation. "Bro, are you okay?" Which is, that's the spirit of stupid, but we don't know what else to say. "Hey, did it go good? I mean, it's not any better." You know what I'm saying? Like, So, bro, are you okay? And he's like, and I can see his ribs. I can watch his ribs. They're going black, blue in front of me. I said, bro, are you okay? He's like, he's like, it hurts to breathe. And I'm like, yeah, because you just hit a truck with your ribs. I mean, sarcasm can be fruit of the spirit sometimes. Come on, I'm in New York. I feel like I'm at home. Y'all are sarcastic like crazy, right? I remember one time my friend was telling me that he had a Christian school competition, and two rival schools walked into the cafeteria. And of course, the way they were going to settle who's the best and the strongest and the baddest school is they were going to have an arm wrestling contest. So they picked two guys, right? Big, jack, cut guys like me, and come over to this table and start. I don't know why that's funny, but anyways, they come over to this table and they start arm wrestling. Well, this one guy's got, I mean, he's well built. The other guy is named Steroid. I'll let you imagine why, all right? And so he's going, and Steroid feels like he's going to lose. So Steroid starts struggling, then finally says, I'm going to give it another pump. And he comes over. Come on, I mean, remember Over the Top. Y'all remember Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone? Come on, y'all don't know. I'm an 80s baby. Y'all don't know. All right, so they're sitting here. Right, he's doing this like this, and he's trying to come over the top of it. Well, as soon as he gives that final pump, pow, the bone in his arm comes shooting out the side of his arm. And everybody was like, gotta go. Right? Why would that happen? Because the demand from the outside was too much for the pressure that caused on the inside. And I know that you are in some dangerous ground. I know what 2020 was. I know what 2020 has been. But it doesn't mean that we should be bent or we should be out of shape or we should be broken. What it does mean is we could withstand storms and we could take on trial and we could take on trouble. Why? Because we're built. I need some trouble people. I need some people who know how to stir it up right. I need some people who are disruptions. Come on. Where are the holy disruptions? Where are the holy ambushes? Where are the holy models again that are coming in to show a fresh way? All because you're built correctly. You're not built with church attendance. You're not built with small groups. You're not built just with everything that you can be a part of in the church. You're built by the Word of God. You're built by His presence. You're built by fasting. You're built by worship. You're built by generosity and tithing. These are things that are forging and forming and chiseling. And friend, let it be said that on the day of your greatest enemy, when you're looking Goliath across the battlefield, that you weren't built by fear, that you weren't built by compromise, that you weren't discipled by weakness, but you were built by the fresh fire of Almighty God, and you didn't care if it was a giant, if it was a system, if it was a spirit. Why? Because you're built correctly. We need built people again. We need built people again. And when you're built, you get to say three things. Number one, I'm built different. I'm built different. You're not new to this because you were built different. God is the greatest planner that has ever been. It says that He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He knows how to build. It says He is faithful to complete the things that He starts. He knows how to build. It also says that on the cross, when Jesus hung there for all of our sin, He finalized His words with, it is. God knows how to build your marriage. God knows how to build your babies. God knows how to build your future. God knows how to even build parts of your past that make sense in your presence, that make different, dangerous for your good. Where are my different people at? You're not different when you look like everybody else. You're not different when you talk like everybody else. You're not different when you let your opinions be formed by everybody else. I am so tired of social media feeds, headlines, and I'm telling you, news cycles trying to tell you what to be built by. Be built by panic. Be built by fear. Be built by culture wars or propaganda and agenda. Let it be said that we were anchored there, but we were existing here. I was anchored in the Word, and I was built by it. The reason why there's no fire on my life, there's no storm that takes me out, it's not because I'm better. It's not because I'm stronger. It's because I was built correctly. I was formed. I was forged. Where are the people? We're built different. You know, I like to smell good. I like to smell good. I actually was in youth ministry for 20 years. And I'm telling you, like, I have smelled things that are not human. It's wrong. Come on, Pastor Cody. Pastor, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's wicked. It's demonic. It's demonic. That smell is demonic. Smells like fish. Anyways, I'm telling you, I've smelt things. I'm like, that ain't right. I like to smell good. And I go into these airports and they have these like cologne and perfume. Y'all have seen these? And one of my favorite colognes is Chanel Blue. And so I like going in. And I remember one time walking up and I'm looking at the pricing. The pricing's the same. The prices are different for the same size bottle. And I'm thinking, well, what makes these two completely different? It's the same packaging. It comes in the same bottle. It's going to be the same smell, but the way they are built determines the price. Because if you go and settle for the cheaper bottle, you'll still smell the same. You'll have the same thing, but it will not last as long because it's made out of water. But if you don't mind paying the higher price, His Tabernacle, then guess what happens? Not only will you smell the same, not only will you have the same things, but you will outlast, outgrind, outrun, out-hustle, out-pray, out-build everything because you are built different. Why? This one's built out of oil. I don't want the one that's built out of something that fades away. I want to be built. Anybody want to be built of an oil life? I want something that's oil-based. I want something that has anointing to it, that has authority to it. And this is what happens when you're built different. I love this because it says that Jesus is sitting in this setting and Mary storms the room. And she doesn't just bring in any jar. And we've heard this a ton. If you've been in church, there's 1,000 messages on this. But it says this. It says she poured the highest quality and fragrant oil. What she was really pouring was multi-purposed. It was the anointing for Jesus needed to go to the cross. It was the anointing for his death, his sacrifice, his burial, the anointing for his resurrection. But what she was pouring was also her plan B. In case this church thing doesn't work out, in case tithing doesn't work out, in case serving doesn't work out, in case this marriage doesn't work out, I always got this. It's real quiet up in this Pentecostal church all of a sudden. In case this doesn't work out, I can rely. Instead of just holding back parts of her heart and her life, what does she do? She takes her plan B, her life, her everything, and she takes her life and breaks it, not on his feet and not on his hands, but on the crown of Jesus. Friend, if you want any place your life needs to collide on, it's on the crown of King Jesus. Could you break open your pain for Jesus today? Could you break open your frustrations in your marriage or as a family? Could you break open all of your heart this morning so that you could finally feel what pulled you into this room? It wasn't just a friend's invitation. It wasn't you just stumbling on something on Facebook. No, God was wooing you into this moment because he wants to build you different. Here's the second thing. The second thing when you're built is number two is you are built devoted. We need devoted people again. You know what I've noticed? Devoted people, they show their devotion not when everyone's watching, when no one's looking. They show it in the unknown. They show it when people are saying things they should not be saying about other people or perhaps yourself, and someone does speak up and say, you don't know them like I know them. You haven't cried with them like I cried with them. You haven't prayed with them like I've prayed with them. You haven't worshiped like I've worshiped with them. You don't know them like I know them. They're built devoted. We need devoted people again. This is what I love. It says, as Jesus is reclined at the table, a woman walks in and pours a fragrant, expensive oil all over Jesus. A woman. You do realize this is very out of the ordinary. This is what I love about Mary's. Mary's break protocol. They break through all the man-made tradition. They break through all the lifeless pageantry and the fruitless masks of everybody. And they break through. Marys have a way of captivating a whole room and then taking that attention and putting it exactly where it needs to be. And when this starts happening, everybody who had side conversations, everybody who had distractions, everybody who had something better to do or better to talk about, all of a sudden quiets down and the focus comes back. And this right here is where the storm ensues. This right here is where everybody starts getting mad. They're not mad because she poured a jar of oil. They're mad because they're convicted of their distractions. Let me tell you, do you remember? They said, what a total waste. Let me tell you what's really behind those words. You are distracted because you're so in love with Simon the leper. And you're wondering, hey, Simon, you had leprosy, now you don't. And he's turned into a local celebrity, so everybody wants to buddy-buddy with Simon the leper. And then on the left of Jesus, there's Lazarus. And everybody wants to hear what it was like when you were dead and when you got out. What was it like when you first opened your eyes and you walked out of your grave? What was that like? So he himself has turned into some clout and some influence, a local celebrity. And now these sidebar conversations are happening and nobody is focused on the King of Kings, on the Lord of Lords, on the ruler of everything in this realm and every other. They're not even paying attention until a Mary breaks in the room. And Mary breaks open her jar. What a total waste. Could it be, Peter? The only reason you're saying that is because once again you got caught up in being distracted. Well, that church, going to church is a total waste. Could it be that you never tried in the first place because all you came was just to settle a debt or to make somebody happy, but you didn't want to hear anything about Jesus? But now when you have real pain and you got real problems and you got real frustration, there's only been one. That bottle didn't help you. Those pills didn't help you. That sex didn't help you. What will help you is a resurrected Savior who is built different, and he's built devoted. Where are my built people at? Who knows what it's like for God to step into their life and rescue you out of the fires of hell and snatch you out of the devil's hands, snatch you out of addiction and pain, and he sets you up because he builds you different, devoted. They said, what? What a total waste. This blows my mind. What a total waste. This ain't the waste, because even Jesus says, what she has done has anointed me. God doesn't waste anointing. What she has done has prepared me. Everything God does matters. God wastes nothing. And even what she has done has set me up. God is not wasting nothing. Could it be what the world calls waste, God calls worthy? Could it be what the world calls a waste of time, a waste of effort, a waste of focus? God calls that worship. The reason why they call it waste is because they don't value what we value. The reason why we love people who are enemies and don't post about them and don't slander them behind their back is because I value something bigger than just getting 2 seconds of gratification. The reason why I'll speak with honor, the reason why I'll live with integrity, the reason why I'll believe God for his supernatural power is not because I'm weird or I'm crazy. It's because I was built different, built, devoted. We need built people again. We need people who don't mind being a little bit peculiar. We don't mind people who don't know. We need people who know how to be separated. People who know how to be set apart. People, I'm talking about people who don't look like the next man or the next woman. But because they don't look like them, that's exactly what gives them everybody's attention. Because they are built different. They are built devoted. What a total waste. It's not a waste, I'm telling you. I'll tell you what a waste is. A waste is churches with no souls saved in them. A waste is success and it costs you your integrity. A waste is somebody not receiving healing and they are around believers who believe that God is going to supernaturally touch. That's a waste. Look, can I tell you, time spent in prayer, never wasted. Time spent fasting, never wasted. I'm telling you, time spent in the Word is never wasted. Time sowing is never wasted. Are you hearing me? Time serving is never wasted. Time in worship in His presence, that's never wasted time. Built different, built devoted, and here's the last thing. Built dangerous. You're built different because you're built devoted. And then when you're devoted, you truly are dangerous because you can't be bought. You can't be manipulated. You can't be tricked, bamboozled, or hoodwinked. You can't be blindsided either. You can't be ambushed. I'm telling you, there are some things that make you dangerous you're not even aware of that you're so dangerous about. The way you pray makes you dangerous. You might think, well, it's just me by my bed or me in my living room. No, it's you and the host of heaven looking on your words to give them something to work with and activate the plans of God. You're dangerous for good. It's the worship in the services. It's the worship in the car. It's the worship at your desk. It's the worship in your home. It's the worship. You turn off the TV, you put the babies in the living room and say, we're going to worship for 15 minutes and we're going to be dangerous for good. God's going to loose something in our home. He's going to loose something in our family. He's going to loose something on our city and our nation. You're built dangerous. I remember, I think I was here and I was sharing last year about One Day LA. And the freedom experience. As we were trying to posture this vision to take place in July of 2020, well, that didn't work out so well. If you remember March of 2020, everything went to a bucket of suck. And here we are in about April. We're trying to think through what's the options. Do we cancel? Do we postpone? And I remember the Lord breaking through in his voice and said, you are not allowed to give the city of Los Angeles a budgeted version of my vision for it. You're not here to give Walmart versions of my vision. I need you releasing the full version of my heart for this city. So we said, okay. He said, what you plan to do for a week, do it for a whole year. So we said, give us certain keys and initiatives. Man, I wish I had time to go into this. But he said, first start with the vision I gave you. Unite the global church for the salvation and transformation of nations. Sure enough, when we first talked to people at the first call of action, please come and join this vision of One Day LA, 658 churches showed up like this. And in the middle of a heavy hit city that was run by all kinds of agendas, we watched the church's influence and affluence come back. Because when we united those churches, we made them what we called serve centers. And they became food distribution sites, 22 million pounds of food every weekend. Not throughout the whole time, every weekend. I'm talking about they became testing sites. They became education hubs. When schools closed down, the churches opened up and people were having schools in the church and they were serving the free meals in the church and the church was paying for it. It was restoring the influence, the affluence of the church. It was incredible. There's so much to share there. Then God said, pay off medical debt. We said, okay. People can't get into a new build. They can't get into a new home. They can't get out of these impoverished neighborhoods. They sometimes can't even get a better job. Can't do any of that because of their medical debt history. So sure enough, we would watch God, begin to march these resources right into this vision. And I'm happy to say to this date right here, we have paid off $47 million worth of underprivileged medical debt. And I'm talking about all the underprivileged medical debt for Compton, Inglewood, Long Beach, all of that paid off, gone. 23,000 families getting healing in their debt. Come on, financial healing. Breakthrough. It's powerful. Then God said, I want you to cause a storm on foster care. And when a city who's tried its best had a $70 million advertising budget could generate probably 100 leads of godly, or I'm sorry, 100 leads of families. We put fire on this vision in front of the church, and we have now generated over 2,000 leads of godly families, of godly people saying, give us your babies. We're going to take care of them, raise them like our own. Friend, that is history in America. That doesn't happen. And then we went into the prisons. We now have established a church in all 35 state penitentiaries around California that's connected to a local church that is now a campus, because we said when a convict becomes a convert, they have a community to continue to establish covenant with God with, and we break the repeat cycle of offending. I'm telling you, it's incredible. Then God said, call on the men. I wish I could tell you about the men's gathering. But about 90 days before July 24th, the freedom experience, which we watched God miraculously, 90 days, God moved on us, but we didn't know it. We had contracted, we had put six figures down on the Memorial Coliseum, iconic Olympic stadium, 100,000 seat stadium. Because of a clause in the neighboring stadium, they had to dissolve our contract, so we were a vision without a stadium, even though we've been cast in vision for a stadium moment. I think it was just a short time after that, literally short time after that, that we got a call from SoFi Stadium. Anybody know SoFi Stadium, the new Rams Chargers Stadium? It's a $5 billion stadium. This thing is built for the gospel. They called us and said, we heard about what you're doing in LA and we want to host you, but we got to move to other people. Are you ready? I said, we need this. We'll make some phone calls. First person they call, hey, Taylor Swift, can you move your date? She said, absolutely. She moves her date. Hey, Kenny Chesney, next person. Can you move your date? He moves his date. They call us back. One day LA, you have the stadium. Like that. That's how we got it. Now we're excited we got a stadium, but we ain't got no lineup. And only that, you know, this is Los Angeles. They don't just show up for the K-Love concert artists, all right? They don't just show up for Christian artists. You understand, LA has seen it all, has done it all, sends all of it out. So we've got to pull in tier one influencers who are going to move people who would never step foot or darken the door of our churches, but would step into this moment where there would be an atmosphere that would start out like a concert, turn into a worship service with the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached at the end and souls being snatched and being placed in the kingdom of God. So we said, who could do that? Who's a tier one influencer that's a Christian? Well, that's a short list. Then we said, who's a tier one influencer that's a Christian that's not afraid to share their faith? That's an even shorter list. So who's a tier one influencer that's a Christian, not afraid to share their faith, and will stand with us in LA on July 24th in the Freedom Experience and do it with us? Well, how many know that could only be any, meeny, miny, Justin Bieber? At that time, we got a call. Anybody heard of Coachella or Stagecoach? The co-founders called us, said, we heard about what you're doing in LA. We're so moved and we're tired of watching kids, people being carted out in gurneys and ambulances, overdosing and dying, and people, all the scene that comes up with that. We want to finally have some purpose in what we do. Can we run all your production for this moment in SoFi Stadium? We're like, yes, you can. They said, who's your lineup? We said, well, we're really positioning some people and conversations are going to land in the right place. That's code talk for we're praying and we don't know. They said, you have 30 days. I said, fine. They call us 2 weeks later. Hey, who's your lineup? I said, listen, the posture of this vision is really strong. It's moving a lot of people. We'll get you the lineup soon. That's code for we are praying and fasting right now, wondering that too. You can't just go in with all the Christianese that we've all been trained to. They call us the day of. They said, who's your lineup? We said, listen, we'll be completely transparent. You know, we're faith-based. We're a Christian organization. And allow us to peel back the curtain a little bit. You know, I understand that your industry takes 2 or 3 years to put a lineup together, but our history and experience in the nations of the world watching movements and now having done 64 stadiums, this being the 65th, we probably have a higher risk tolerance than you do. That's called we've got faith. And so now what we need to do is ask for 24 hours that you would come with the journey just one more day. After that, you're completely dissolved and you're good. They said, fine. Just a few short hours after that, the vision ends up in front of Justin Bieber, who begins to cry and weep and says these words. This is exactly what God showed me, that I was supposed to stand in a stadium and I was going to share with whoever would listen, Los Angeles, perhaps America, of what Jesus has done for me. And then we were going to have a moment where we were going to have someone preach the gospel and people were going to have a moment to meet Jesus just like I did. And get the change just like I did. He's starting to weep, cry. And he says, God told me what it would be called. It would be called the Freedom Experience. And this is exactly what I'm building. Do you have a lineup? And if you don't, can I help you build it? We said, yes, Justin Bieber. Anytime your friends want to be our friends, we're okay with that. He gets on the other phone and starts calling. Hey, Chance the Rapper, I need you. Bet, I'm there. Hey, Tori Kelly, I need you. Done, I'm there. Jaden Smith, hey, I need you. I'm there. Chandler Moore, Carrie Job, Jason. I mean, we went through a whole list. And sure enough, in 1 hour, there was a lineup built that Coachella had never had. Called the guys from Coachella, said, how do you feel about Justin Bieber, Chance the Rapper, Jaden Smith, Tori Kelly, the whole list? And they're like, no blank way. I said, well, yeah, no, there's a way. And sure enough, they were just as shocked. Why? Because that's what built people do. And we watched on July 24th, is not only is this incredible lineup started begin to create an atmosphere, but then worship took over the atmosphere and a messenger came out and began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when I'm watching the highest paid athlete in the world be receiving, I'm watching people like Conor McGregor and his wife and his family in front row. I'm watching the Lakers to the top NBA, NFL, MLB players. I'm watching people. I'm having to move. Hey, Taylor Lautner and Klay Thompson from the Golden State Warriors, can you move? move, because these are Tori Kelly's parents. When you're having to move that level of influence, friend, you have punched through a new layer. I can tell you we had royal family members from different nations. I can tell you the top artists, the top actors, the top accounts. We had everybody from the D'Amelios to the LeBrants. Everybody's in this moment. And all of us are completely undone under the presence of God. Why? Because we're built. Would you stand up with me? What I love about this right here is that Jesus allows what's happening because he knows what's happening. Here's Mary, breaks open the oil. The Bible says it was expensive and fragrant oil. He would never use the word fragrant unless that was important. When you study the home, you obviously know this is Simon the leper's house. Leprosy smells like flesh, rotting flesh, so it smells like death. But as soon as Jesus' anointing gets poured out in this house, what once smelled like death now smells like healing. Now smells like peace. Now, listen, I don't know what you came in smelling like. Smelling like sin or cancer or pain or problems. But I know the anointing of Jesus, how he can touch your life. And we need it. We absolutely need it. We need a moment again where God storms into our life, storms into our cities, our high schools, our campuses, storms into our nation. We need to be built. You know, if there's people here and you've never given your life to Jesus, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you feel the heat of what I'm saying. You know that a lot of people, you know what they say? They say that smell, that same smell wasn't just on Jesus at this table because he was arrested shortly after. That same smell was with him when he was arrested, when he was betrayed, when he was mistrialed, when he was lied upon, people pulling patches out of his beard. He still smelled the same. Many people believe that this is what caused the Roman soldiers to go blood drunk when they're whipping him 39 times because he didn't smell like human fluids. He smelled like the anointing. This is what the cross smelled like. This is what the death smelled like. And when he got up out of that grave, he didn't need someone to roll the stone. He rolled it himself because the anointing was still that strong on his life. You don't need a God hanging on the cross. You need one getting out of the grave today. It's time for you to come out of your dead places. If you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you need to recommit your life to him, I want to invite you to do that. Right now, right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you have never given your life to Jesus, would you raise your hand? Or you need to give your life to Jesus. I need to surrender. I need to yield. I need to finally give my life. Am I talking to anybody? Yes, sir, I see your hand. Yes, sir, I see your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Please don't miss this moment. This is the moment. This is Kairos. There will never be another moment just like this one. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We got several people that have raised their hands. Come on. Thank the Lord for that. I want to honor your decision with prayer. I want to be the first to pray with you. Now I'm going to ask my friends to raise their hand, but I'm going to ask the whole church, would you pray after me and say, Jesus, would you I give you my life. I thank you that you died for me, that you rose again. You're alive today. I declare I belong to you. I believe that you are building me. I am yours. In your name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, can we thank the Lord for that? Thank you, Jesus. Come on, if this word has stirred you in any capacity, small or big, would you take your hand and put it on your heart? Father, I thank you. You're building this church. You're building these lives. You're building these marriages. You're building these bodies. You're building the thought life, the emotional patterns. You're building the footsteps. You're anchoring them into something so unique and so anointed that even death itself cannot stop the smell. I declare their own jar breaking, boom, right now in Jesus' name. Let them be built dangerous and built for good. Oh, be built different, built devoted. Built dangerous. You know, I believe that one of the things that we need to do to build ourselves is be able to resource ourselves correctly. And this was one of the first churches we launched. It still isn't public. I pushed it back just because I felt like there's still more that need to have this before we launch it. But how many know, in order to build your life, you need to have the right habits. You need to have the right spiritual focuses and disciplines. And I'm telling you, it's amazing how people will go and spend money on a Gucci belt thinking it's going to build them up in front of people. Or they'll go spend money on a condo or a private jet. Or they'll go spend money on a horoscope or a 1-800 number. Or they'll spend money on a bottle or some pills when really all they needed was to build some godly habits. I want to introduce you to this new resource called Habits. It's a video curriculum. You can access it with the code in the back right here. And this is the workbook, and it's got hours of teaching to be able to develop a prayer life, how to study the word, what does fasting really look like? Come on, we need some people that know how to worship. We need some generosity again. We need to know how to serve. I promise you, you don't have an excuse anymore. You've got resources now. And I don't remember how many we brought, but they're backed on the table. I'm going to be signing books. Another one you need is Finisher. God doesn't need people who know how to get things going. He needs people to know how to finish. The world is impressed with what you start, but it's transformed by what you finish. And Jesus was the greatest finisher. If you find yourself constantly procrastinating or hitting the middle or turbulent air or stormy seas and you just give up or quit or you get overwhelmed, this is a message for you. Don't leave this place today without getting this. It'll be in the back. I'm looking forward to signing books. I want to ask for a moment of generosity extended this direction. You know, the Bible says Paul was writing to one of his churches, and he literally says the Macedonians gave at the same level and then above and beyond. They gave at measure and above and beyond. What we don't know about the Macedonians is the Macedonians were the poor of the poor. They would be what Mother Teresa ministered to in Calcutta, where I lived in Sri Lanka, the poor of the poor. And they were so gripped with this lifestyle of generosity and sowing and reaping that they didn't just send a gift to Paul to his face. They also sent money ahead so that when he got, they knew he was going to this church. So when he got there, he was well supplied. And it reminds me of Alexander the Great. As this world conqueror is going through, he was known to ride through the main streets of these nations. And he would flip coins. And this was a custom for most kings. Most kings gave pennies and copper and silver. Not Alexander. Alexander would give gold coins. One of these coins could change a citizen's life. And he'd just give them out just like this. One of his top aides and generals came up to him and said, "Your Majesty, a copper coin, a silver coin would suffice. It'd be sufficient." And then Alexander responded with this famous quote. He said, "The copper and the silver coin may match the need of the beggar, but the gold coin matches the character of the giver." I don't know if you have need. I don't know where you're at, but I do know the laws of sowing and reaping. I do know the laws of generosity. And friend, LA was just the beginning. As my family and I are contending and believing, we're believing for Houston, Texas this time next year. And then we're going to go to Miami after that in the summer of 2023. And we've already got runways built in Chicago and finally New York City. I'm telling you, we need partnership. We need covenant sowing and giving. Would you partner with us today? I'm going to let Pastor come and give the instructions. It would be such an honor to be able to know that your courage, encouragement through your giving is being received at this hour. I appreciate your sowing and your reaping. And I'm believing God to bless. He gives seed to the sower. And I'm asking for more seed to be given to you generously. I bless you guys. God bless you. I'll see you all out there at the book table.
That was okay. He did all right today. Amen. Wow. What an anointing. What a word. Everybody in your seats, you have a green envelope. It says seed envelope. And I'd encourage you to come on Thursday to understand a little bit more. Maybe some of you don't understand the principles of seed time and harvest. It's not about amounts, it's about obedience. And I want to encourage you, we're going to pray real quick, and then you fill it out, and we're going to have the offering plates right near the front. If you raise your hand for salvation, to make your life right with the Lord, or you didn't raise your hand, but you want to be, Mindy is standing right over here. We have a Bible for you. We want to encourage you. We want to make sure you don't just start the race, but you finish the race. Amen? So grab your green envelope and let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a good God and that you have a plan for us, Lord, to sow that we will reap. God, I thank you that you're going to deposit an amount in our heart. Some it might be little, some it might be much. But God, we choose to walk in obedience to whatever you direct us. So Lord, we call in that seed in the name of Jesus so that when Chris leaves here, there'll not be one need for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. We love you. Have an awesome week. Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth will be with us next week.